I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
We are glad whether we drove in or climbed up, whether we logged on or tuned in. We are glad to be here in this community with this family. It is a place of joyful hope, of radical welcome. It is a place where together we can wait in wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come.
Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's way and that we may walk in God's paths."
We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored, as we watch and wait with all God's people for promise to be fulfilled.
Please stand as you're able and join us in our opening songs.
Star in the heavens, a sign full of wonder, announcing the coming. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, shall we pray? Almighty and gracious God, we thank you that once again the world has turned and your message of hope and grace and light is given to us once more. God, we give thanks for birthdays. Whether young or middle-aged or old, we give thanks that you continue to bless us with days and moments and breath. God, be with those who are recovering, those who are in the hospital, those who will be going into surgery. Lord, we pray that you're with them, that your spirit is upon them, that you walk and help the nurses and the doctors, that you give grace and patience to those who are helping care for each other. And Lord, we pray that all will be well. Lord, walk with us as we inhabit these bodies that sometimes break down and ache and need repair. And Lord, bring us healing. Bring us healing. Almighty God, we lift up these prayers. We lift up all the prayers that are still and silent in our own hearts, whether they be too personal or too heavy to speak. Lord, we know you hear us, that you've not left us, that you are with us. So God, help us as we walk with you and live into the hope of the resurrection. Through Christ our Lord, we pray these things. All the people said, Amen. So with the confidence of those who have been redeemed, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Before we dive right into kids' moments, just a couple quick announcements about the bulletin. How many of you know that I'm human? How many of you know that I make mistakes sometimes? The scriptures in here are not the scriptures we're reading today, so I invite you to look up on the screen or flip open into your Bibles to find the right ones. It's actually 2 Timothy 1:3 through 10. But thank you for your graciousness. Without any further ado, kids, why don't you come on up?
Was the actual first try, guys. That was pretty exciting. All right, friends, hold on. I forgot to get ready before this. All right, what is this? It's a ring. Do you guys know what? This is going to be a really easy answer for you. Do you guys know what people give each other on wedding days? Yes.
A ring.
A ring. Oh, I threw it. Thanks for finding that. Sorry, Alec. All right. So, do you guys know what the ring is supposed to symbolize? Yes, marriage. Marriage is a promise. Did you know that? To love the person that you're with and to be true to them. So you wear a ring to symbolize that and to remind you every day. It's pretty cool, right? And I bet you guys are wondering what this pertains to you since you're all pretty little. Now, I want you all to kind of shimmy yourselves so you can see our wreath over there. What do we have on the wreath? I don't know if can you guys see it? We have candles. That's our Advent wreath, right? Do you guys know what Advent is? No? Guys, we talked about this in Sunday school. We're getting ready for Christmas, right? It helps us get ready for Christmas. So, the wreath, we didn't talk about this part in Sunday school, but so the wreath is kind of like a giant ring. Can we look at it again? It's kind of like a ring, right? Can we all agree on that? Yeah? Cool. So, the wreath helps symbolize God's promise to send Jesus. Do you guys know that God promised that he would send Jesus before he actually did it? Yes, we knew that. And he waited like 400 years to do that. That's a long time to wait for the promise to come true, isn't it? Do you guys think you could wait 400 years? I'm a very impatient person, so I don't think I could. Gotta be honest with you. But the wreath can help us stay patient and remember that God fulfills his promises, right? Pretty cool. Alrighty, should we pray? Cool. All right. Hey, God, thank you so much for fulfilling your promises and for sending Jesus and for saving us from our sins. Amen.
New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Hear these words from Paul's letter to Timothy. I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lo, as in your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If the ushers would come forward now, it would be time for our giving of offering, tithes, and gifts.
Thank you.
you bless the offering with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us, that you continue to provide for us in times that might be uncertain. But Lord, even in the midst of all of that, we know that you are good, that your promises stand true, and that our hope can be placed in you. Almighty God, we give you thanks. Bless these ways that we've given. Bless these ways that we've pledged and committed to working alongside you. Lord, help us be faithful. And Lord, continue to bless us so that we might be blessings to not only our congregation, but to our community and the world. Through Christ our Lord, we give thanks. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. This is the good news according to Luke. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Well, I had someone... Ooh, that's hot. Well, I had someone once tell me that every Advent we just say the same thing over and over, don't we? No? It's new every year? Every year we light a candle for hope and one for faith or maybe peace, depending on what church you're a part of. And then there's one for joy and then there's one for love. And finally we get to the big white candle, which is for Christ. Every year we remind ourselves who we are. Who we are and what we stand for and what our hope and faith manifests itself to be. So today, I'd like to talk about this thing called hope. You've probably heard it before, but I want to talk about hope today here in this, the year of our Lord 2022. How many of you hope against hope every once in a while? With great fear and trembling, I bring this up because I know I'm going to have a conversation with someone in the back, but I had great hope that the Hawkeyes would win this weekend. I also had great hope that we wouldn't get embarrassed when the two conferences came together for the championship game. So thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. But I think it's fascinating sometimes the things that we hope for, the things that our hearts long for, that we don't necessarily have proof that we can touch and feel, or it gets a little complicated there. We'll get there, don't worry. But it's fascinating what our hearts yearn for, even in the midst of not being able to see that possibility. I had a conversation with a friend this week. His daughter's in the hospital. And of course, I was thinking that he was just calling on Wednesday evening to give me a hard time before Thanksgiving. He's one of those good friends. But instead, he was calling to let me know that his daughter is in need of prayers. And he asked me, he said, "Luke, is she going to be okay?" How many of you have been there with your children before? I remember when Nora was born, she was in the NICU for a week. I know when one of my children, who will remain unnamed, decided to drink an entire bottle of children's Motrin, and we worried throughout the entire night, would he be okay? He was. I've named him. You all know him now, right? But we've been there before, haven't we? Are things going to work out? And some of these are way bigger than others. Some of these have much more weight and consequence than something as admittedly small as, will my sports team win this weekend? But that's the funny thing about hope, is that it kind of slips through our fingers sometimes when we try and grab a hold of it. It's hard to really point a finger on and say, this is what it is, or this is how it works, or this is how we get it, or this is how we use it. It's like any of those other things along that reef. It's hard to really put words to what is actually happening and what it actually is. And yet, hope, today, I can't tell you, friends, I don't know if I've seen anything more needed today than hope. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, everyone wave at my son. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he writes this beautiful passage about, Tim, I know you. I actually know your grandmother. I know your mother. I know how faithful they were, and I have no doubt that you are just as faithful as them. So remember these things. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Follow these things. There's light and grace, and you will find Christ in that. Have you heard that passage before? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Can we say that? Can we repeat that with each other? This one's actually important. If you don't have many scriptures memorized, that's okay. This is one of those that you will probably draw back on throughout your life. So, repeat after me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See, this is really, at least today, what I think the gospel is trying to get to. How many of you think that Zechariah was overjoyed in the moment that he found out that Elizabeth would be pregnant with his child? Anyone? Maybe a little bit, but what was he standing in the presence of? An angel. I don't know if you've ever seen, I mean, how many of you have seen pictures of angels? Do we have any in here, I wonder? Sometimes there are these wonderful, beautiful people with big flowing wings and they look really pretty and there's lots of light behind them. And then sometimes you go and you read the book of Ezekiel and it's wheels within wheels and eyes all around and six wings and you're thinking, what did I just step into? See, if we're honest, angels can probably be pretty terrifying. To be in the presence of holiness is kind of a terrifying experience. You're not quite sure what's going to happen.
And yet in the mouths of angels, just about every time they show up, what are the first words that they speak? Do not be afraid. Say that with me. Do not be afraid. God knows how terrifying things are sometimes. God gets it. God created everything. And oftentimes, the message that we need to hear first is, do not be afraid. I don't know how many times I personally will need to hear that throughout my life. Probably every day I wake up, if I'm being honest. But this is hope, isn't it?
When you get right down to it, this is hope. Knowing that all will be well. Knowing that God is still with us. Knowing that there is a way. That we're not left out blind in the world to feel through the dark, but that there's light. And there's hope.
The question then is, how do we, I don't know, grab a hold of it? How do we find hope? Especially in a world where it seems like every time we turn on the news, there's something terrible that's happened, or every time we open up whatever, I don't know, bank account, you name it, right? You're thinking, gosh, there should have been more money in there. What do we do in a world that seems like it's doing its best to just suck the hope and the life out of a lot of things? How do we find that little measure that will keep us going? There's a candle right there and it's burning. I want you to look at it while I say these next words. Go ahead, take a look at that. There's this fascinating thing that the earth does. It revolves around the sun, and we're also on a tilt, a bit of an axis. So every once in a while, when we get the furthest away from the sun that we always are, what happens to the sunlight? It gets shorter. What time is the sun setting about now? 5:30, right? There's some morning people in here who know exactly when the sun sets, right? The sun is setting earlier now. This is nothing new. This is nothing surprising. This is nothing shocking. But take a look at that small candle light. Lighting a candle, flipping a switch, doing something so that the darkness, as it says in John 1, so that the darkness doesn't overcome. As the days grow shorter, doing something as simple, I don't know, it might not be simple, hanging Christmas lights around your roof. Doing something as simple as that is a way to remind us that no, in fact, Christ is alive. No, in fact, there is hope. See, I've really wrestled this week with not only the news from my friend, but also a colleague who was dealing with another crisis over where they serve. How do we grab a hold of hope so that we can continue on, so that as God and the angels proclaim, do not be afraid. And this is an image of that. To encourage one another is to light a candle in the midst of darkness. To remind one another that it will be okay, that all will be well, to not be afraid. Sometimes, friends, I wonder if that's all we got, but I know that that's truly all we need. That God works in the midst of that, that the Spirit moves when we care for and encourage one another. This is why my friend called me. This is why we reach out to people when we're feeling sad or down or frustrated or anything, that at the end of the day, the connections that we have bless us the most. Can you do me a favor this morning? whether you're here or online or on the radio, can you do me a favor? Can you turn to someone next to you and say, all is well? I know we're going to sit here in silence, right? Go ahead, I'm serious, do it. Turn to someone next to you and say, all is well. There's a story about John Wesley who was having some trouble preaching, and there was a Moravian who came up, John was saying, I just don't know if I can do it. I just don't know if I have enough faith. And this other pastor said to him, John, just keep preaching until you got it. See, this is the thing about hope. This is the thing about the love of Christ, is that it is pervasive, it is here, no matter if we're aware of it or not, and that it just takes reminding one another time and time again. All is well. Do not be afraid. God is with us. It'll work out. God has not given us a spirit of what? God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of sound mind. Friends, we're in some really interesting times. So I want to remind all of us of those words. Because at the end of the day, there is hope. And if we can make room for hope in our own hearts, in our own community, then hope will create space for us. Hope will create space for us to build the kingdom of God and to live and live well. Can you repeat that phrase, that passage from Timothy with me? Let's do it all together. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Friends, may you not be afraid. May you go in hope. May you know all will be well, even if it seems a little dicey. Because God is with us. God is with you. God loves each and every single one of us, and no matter what happens, God will be with us. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Good and gracious Lord, be with us today. Walk with us and guide us and give us hope. Lord, we know that it's your hope, your resurrection, your grace, your love. That is what can keep us going even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of despair. So Lord, love us. May we feel it and be aware of it. May we encourage one another. May we turn to each other and remind ourselves that God is good, that a way is being made, that there is grace, there is light, to just keep going because God is present. Lord, give us hope this season that we might trust you in all things. Lord, we give you thanks. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you're able and join us in our final song before my kids lose it. Ready? Thank you.
baby stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Ooh, 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 ooh. The shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on the glorious night. God came down on the glorious night. Hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born.
Friends, before we give you the final blessing, there's a page in your bulletin that looks like this. If you wanted to take it out, you certainly could. There's a lot of stuff coming up in December because it's a time where the church celebrates. We know that God is good. God will always be with us. And that there's lots of reason to hope. So friends, we have our Advent study on the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd of December. The children's Christmas program, I'm going to trip over my words, is on the 4th. That's next Sunday, isn't it? Okay. Come and see that. Bring your friends. It's going to be wonderful. Santa will be here on the 10th. If you have kids who need to see Santa and get their letter to him, or if you have adults that need to see Santa and get their letter to him, bring them here. I think Rudolph's going to be here too, right? December 10th, 11 to 1. We'd love to see you. All Music Sunday, we've got a lot of musicians in this church. We're blessed to have them. That'll be on the 11th, not next Sunday, but the following. We are caroling. I don't know if we've done that in a while, and we're setting up some places to go, but that'll be on the 14th. It's a Wednesday. And then we have our cozy Christmas celebration service on the 18th. Downstairs. There'll be cookies, there'll be hot chocolate. If you have a festive Christmas sweater, go ahead and wear that. If you have a wonderful Christmas tie, or if you've got jammies that you like to wear, go ahead and bring those as well. Bonus points if you have one of those full suits. You know what I'm talking about? Friends, we are overjoyed that you're with us, and we are glad to be in the Christmas season again. So, without any more waiting, there's enough of that in Advent. Would you receive the benediction? May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift up God's face shine upon you. May the darkness not overcome anything in your lives. May there be light. May there be grace. May there be hope. May you know that God is with you, that all will be well. Friends, go in hope, go in trust, and go in love. Serve the Lord. And all the people said, amen. Friends, happy Thanksgiving. Go in peace. Enjoy your Sabbath and rest. Rest. Today our service is ended.